This is Eric, Nathaniel, and Dennis. How's it going, guys?
It's going good.
Look at Dennis. He's got the fancy, well, nobody can see it but us, but you know, he's got the fancy LED microphone and stuff. So
I got the feed fine. This is the feed fine we were talking about.
Yeah, I could do that too. I just turned mine off because it's so bright.
So this one I don't have the option. This one is either like you better like it because there's no way you're turning it off.
Really? Oh yeah.
See. Yeah, the only way is if you mute it, there's like a little like tap button up here.
Yeah.
You know, and then now you can hear me again.
Yeah, so well like, and yeah, see that's the way mine is. I've got talking and then you can hear me again, which is kind of nice.
Great podcast content when you're just going out without warning because people can't actually see what you're doing.
I know, right? Yeah, since we don't do it on video anymore, it's like, but still, it was just funny.
I mean, even if we were, most people are still just listening anyways.
Well, that's true.
It's like, wait, what's happening?
What happened? Oh, my player cut out? Oh my gosh. No, because it was funny. Me and I messaged Dennis about some art for the main page, and he was like, oh, I got one of these mics too, and it was like, oh, you did. It's like, but
yeah, like literally after the last podcast I did, so it's like it was really recent.
Yeah, well, it was a good deal. Yours was, I mean, for the price you paid for the arm and the microphone, it was hard to pass up.
Yeah, so. It was a steal. Yeah, I couldn't pass that.
And I like them. I mean, they're cool. They're small. They're mine. Like I said, I was telling the guys before we started, this is actually, I usually use the actual, you know, mic cable and run it to a power and then run it into the computer.
The coax? Is that a coaxial?
No, it's what do they call it? An XLR. Yeah.
XLR cable.
Cable. That's right. And I think something's wrong with the XLR in this mic because I couldn't get it to work even with the phantom power to power it. So I don't know what was up with that because I thought, well, maybe the phantom power that I picked up was bad, but I tried it with my old mic and it worked just fine. So for some reason, it wouldn't work in this one. So it may end up going back just to get a replacement on it, but I mean, it's fine. USB is okay. I mean, I don't mind USB. It's not like I run it through a mixing board or anything like that anyway, so it's not like I need.
Yeah, if you're just going directly in your computer, then USB is fine.
Yeah. The only reason I had the phantom power thing was because the old mic I used did not have USB at all, so you had to convert it to something. So, but it's fine. It's no big deal. You know, if I ever get what'll happen is I'll forget that doesn't work. I'll end up getting a mixing board someday and then go, why won't this work? I don't remember this not working. Because that's how I do things. I forget. I always forget. So. But anyway.
Yeah, I think it's because we're getting old.
What are we doing right now?
Yeah, it could be.
Why are we here? What's going on? What day is it? Is it Wednesday?
Well, I've been on vacation all week, so I almost forgot it was Friday. You know, it was like, and we didn't, it was one of those vacations where we didn't leave the house. It was work around the house doing spring cleaning stuff, and I had totally forgot what day it was. It was like, I thought it was Tuesday, and then yesterday I thought it was Saturday, and then it's like, I was all just discombobulated. I hate having too many days off when I don't have anything scheduled because then I just lose track of days. So, you know, when you're so used to being, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's like I always said, it was really bad when Nikki would be off for summer break with school and I was unemployed and we were both home for 3 straight months not working or doing anything.
I can just see it now, John. What day is it?
Yeah.
Tuesday? Sunday?
Yeah. I mean, we lost track of days so many times. It was hilarious because it was just like we didn't know what
day
it was.
Just came out, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh, yeah.
What month is it? What movie? Oh, we saw that movie last week, right? No, that was 2 months ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man. I might need to take a shower someday. I don't know what that was. But yeah, it's bad when you don't have anything to do and you're not set to a schedule. It's just like, days, what time? What's it mean? Nothing. Yeah. That's what.
Who knows anymore?
Yeah, I know, right? So, but anyway, we'll talk about what we've been playing. I'm still playing The Saboteur on PC. I haven't played it a whole lot, so I don't have too much to talk about, other than it runs fantastic on the Steam Deck. So if you have a Steam Deck and you want to play it, it's...
Did you play that back in the day?
I did. I played it back in the day on the... It was either the 360 or the PlayStation 3. I know I have it on 360, so or PlayStation 3, so I think that's where I played it at. There was a weird time when I stopped playing on 360 and moved over to PlayStation 3 when I kept having Red Rings of Death. So I don't remember where, who, what, and where.
I think I only own it on Steam or GOG right now. I used to own it physically, but yeah. But I'll definitely have to. I've never played it. Pretty good things, though.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it takes a little bit from Assassin's Creed, but GTA, not a lot. Right, and kind of GTA-ish. So, I mean, it's cool. I mean,
so like Mafia, where I'm driving a car from the 30s or 20s.
You're driving a car.
Why won't this thing go faster? It only says 40 miles an hour.
You are doing cars from the 30s and 40s, but it's set in France in World War II.
That was the best part about those Mafia games, like Mafia 1 and 2. I'm like, these cars, they don't go faster. They handle like crap.
No, yeah. I still love Mafia 1 and 2. Especially the remake of 1. Oh, man.
I think I just have the remake of 1. I should get the remake of 2, though.
Yeah, they did a good job with the remake. I liked it a lot. Of course, I'm still playing Lorcana. We're talking about TCG. But it seems like the one game that me and Dennis have both played, we both played Horizon Forbidden West on PC.
Well, I haven't played Forbidden West yet. I'm going through Zero Dawn right before I do that.
Oh, okay.
Read that subtitle, Joe. Yeah. Gotta read the subtitle.
Oh, yeah. I guess it did. I just saw Horizon. I thought it was Forbidden West. So, yeah, I picked it up on PC to play it on Steam Deck and see how it runs.
Because playing the better game.
Yeah. Hot takes. Shots fired.
Forbidden West isn't bad. It's just the Zero Dawn's better. In my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, and I need to finish Zero Dawn really before I get too deep into Forbidden West. But, I bought it on PlayStation. But once again, I don't have time to play games, sit down and play games at home. So it was like, oh, it's on Steam. I'll buy it and see how it runs on Steam Deck. I heard good things. It runs about 30 frames per second. Graphics look good. It's HDR compatible, so on the HDR Steam Deck, it looks really, really nice. Runs a little better on the ROG Ally, I think, just because it's a little more powerful, but not enough for me to go, oh, let me boot up the ROG. I'll just play it on the Steam Deck with HDR. But like I said, I literally booted it up last night for the first time just to see how it ran and tweak some of the settings on it, because my gosh, they let you tweak about everything on that game on the computer. It is crazy. It was just I opened up just all these different things. It's like, holy crap. Just keep scrolling through. Do I want to set this? Do I want to set that? Do I want to do FSR? Do I want to do this? It's like, geez, but that's what makes it nice. Plus, I feel obligated to buy games on Steam Deck games on Sony games on Steam, but I feel like I should, because I want them to keep putting games on PC. So it's like, let me buy it. It's like the Yakuza thing. It's like I may not play Yakuza the day it comes out, but I go ahead and buy it so I have it. So they go. Hey, this person likes this game. Yeah.
I agree. I'm just happy we're finally getting Tsushima.
I am too. I am excited about that. So, because I like that game a lot. So,
The game is amazing. But I've been getting the itch to replay it again. But I've been wanting to do it on PC, hoping that they port it, and now it's finally happening. So,
yep. That game should run pretty well on PC too.
Yeah, it should.
Hopefully.
It should run good on Steam Deck too. So.
Yeah, I haven't heard who's doing the port, but the Forbidden West one was done by Nixus, who's like cream of the crop for PC ports.
I think they did the PC port too for Tsushima.
I just haven't looked into it, so I wasn't sure.
I haven't either. I remember seeing something, but I don't. Now I want to look. Oh my gosh, I don't care about my opinion. Oh my gosh, Jeez. Okay. I hate when I click on a website to just find one piece of information and it's like, hey, would you like to accept our terms of service and sign up for our newsletter? And no.
Take a survey while you're at it.
Yeah, take a survey.
How are we doing? What's your first visit here?
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. So I thought I'd seen that in the trailer or something.
I didn't even have to open a site. I just Googled it.
Oh, well, that's cool. I Googled it and it didn't bring it up to me.
Well, you just use poor search terms, John.
I guess so. I suppose.
Your Google foo is weak, old man.
It's because I live in the sticks. The that's the problem. I live in the sticks. So
he's like, come on, hamster. Crank the internet wheel faster. Yeah.
Quick, somebody's asking a question. I don't know.
Why can't I ask Jeeves anymore,
Dan? Yeah, where's Jeeves?
He knew everything.
He was
reliable.
He was a smart guy.
That was my good man.
Yeah. Golly.
He was well dressed.
Yeah, he was.
Like Google the alphabet.
He kind of looked like this guy.
There we go. Never steered me wrong.
Yeah. For those that couldn't see, of course, it was Alfred from Batman's Alfred I held up. I mean, he kind of looked like Jeeves. So. But yeah, I haven't played a whole lot, especially this week. We've been doing a lot of stuff around the house, trying to get stuff cleaned up and garage cleaned out and stuff for sale on Facebook, try to get rid of some stuff and good stuff like that. So it's been a work week away from work. So, but be back on the grind. So I'll be sitting in a hotel room here and before long, so I'll have time to play something. So. But Nathaniel, how's things going in Cyberpunk?
So since last show, I've actually played Phantom Liberty.
Oh, okay, cool.
And I finished Phantom Liberty, and I got just like maybe 15, 20 minutes before we were supposed to record, and I got the new ending for the full game as well. And it's like, depending on how you end up Phantom Liberty with what choices you make, there's a possibility for a completely new ending to the entire game. And so I chose wrong, or well, not wrong, just differently my first time, but I then reloaded a save so I could go through and just see what that ending was like. And I'm like, yep, it's just about as depressing as the other endings. There's like one good-ish ending to Cyberpunk, and the other ones are very, very Cyberpunk in that they're very dark and depressing. It's kind of like, you don't have everybody winning in a Cyberpunk setting, really. You gotta lose somehow at the very least, even just a little bit. But most of the endings of that game, yeah, they're not happy. This one is no exception. It's a cool ending. It's just, yeah, it's not a happy ending. So if that's what you're looking for, you're not gonna get it there. But yeah, Phantom Liberty itself is really, really great. It's kind of like what Cyberpunk should have been, because it makes the base game look pretty bad by comparison almost, which is, I still love the base game. But for example, the side gigs that you can do that pop up on your map. So like in the different areas of the city, you have different fixers and they have kind of like little side gigs that can pop up, and you go and you get close to one on the map and they'll give you a phone call and say like, hey, I need you to go steal this thing in here, or I need you to go, you know, kill this target or whatever. They have a few different types. And in the main game, it's pretty much you have one little building, one area that you go in, and it'll take you, you know, maybe 5 minutes to finish. But they're not super involved. You get in, you get out, you're done. They're kind of like, cool, I get some money out of this so that I can save up for whatever, you know, upgrade I'm trying to buy, whatever. That's why you do them. But in Phantom Liberty, they're very much almost full-on side quests. They are much more thought out. You have a few different spots that you go to for some of them, where you're not just in one little tiny building. And some of them even have like boss fights and stuff built into them. Like there's some actual, it's like just below what a side quest would be in the game, because they actually have like main and side quests in the game, but they're like a little bit less story heavy, but they actually have more of story things to them. And instead of just being called up, you like sometimes the fixer for Dogtown, which is where Phantom Liberty is set, in like the side of, if you've played Cyberpunk, it's down on kind of like the south end of the map where Pacifica is. So it's kind of like this area that existed. You could see it on the map. You just could never get into it until the expansion. So like, you'll get called for the job and it's like, hey, go meet with this person. And then you talk to them and you get some more details. And then you go in to wherever they're telling you to go do whatever actions you're trying to take. And then you get in there and find like, oh, wait, it's not what you thought it was. And it's just a lot more involved than these like side gigs were in the main game. So that was something that was a nice surprise in Phantom Liberty. So I made sure I actually did all of them. Because like for the main game, unless you wanted to like, chase achievements, there's no reason to do all of those unless you're like strapped for some cash because you want to buy another, you know, cyberware upgrade or something. So these, it was, it's a lot cooler, and then even some of them ties into kind of like a new, a sort of semi-hidden side quest that appears when you're doing all of them. You get kind of like a capper to it, so they tie them all together. So it made it really fun to play. And then just like the main quest for Phantom Liberty is all cloak and dagger stuff that's so super cool, well done, and like every new character is really interesting, and every single one, they do a great job of balancing the idea of like, oh man, I really trust this person, or like, oh no, maybe I shouldn't trust this person, or well, now I kind of trust them a little bit more, but now I trust them a little bit less, because they're all like doing, they're all like spy people for different, you know, factions or just different motivations. You're all trying to guess who's wanting what, and you have different choices that you make through the story as you go. That was really cool. So yeah, I don't know, like Phantom Liberty is really great. Idris Elba's character is really great. It looks almost exactly like him in video game form, just kind of just like Keanu Reeves' character does. You get a lot more of you get a lot more of Johnny Silverhand in Phantom Liberty, which is cool. So you get some more interaction time with video game Keanu Reeves. And it's cool because you get a little more of backstory on where he came from, like further in his past than you get in the main game, because it's like there's a little bit of stuff that they hint at of what he did when he was like more like really young versus like and they just sort of mention it, and then this sort of goes into it a little bit more with some dialogue stuff. You don't get any flashbacks or anything like that, but you do get like some, it ties into kind of the story going on where you'll have conversations with him about like when he was in the army back in the day and stuff.
Yeah, so that's cool. Yeah.
And it's a very different area than like the main game. All the areas of the map, at least in the city, are pretty much just like a tangled mess of fairly wide streets. Some of them are a little bit narrower, but it's all just like clean city for the most part for where you're driving anyway. And then you have some like side alleys, or you have some like bits of trash and stuff. But like Dogtown is completely different because it's all just like blown up in some places. It's all like some dirt road here. You kind of have like one sort of main road that's sort of there, but there's some wrecks in the middle. So you can't just like go max speed and just like truck it down the highway like you can in other parts of the map. It's like, oh wait, no, you have to dodge things. And there's like the quote-unquote police force that's in there is different because there's a basically sort of like a warlord, I guess, who controls that area of the city, and it's sort of like it's a little independent mini city. So they have like mech guys wandering around on the roads and stuff. So it's just a very different vibe than the rest of the game, which is really cool.
Yeah. Cool.
So yeah, like if you like cyberpunk, Phantom Liberty is like the best of cyberpunk.
Yeah.
It's like, oh wait, we've had some time to figure out what we to do with this game, and we have a cool story that we want to tell. So let's go ahead and like make an expansion. So it's like they haven't struck out on their expansions yet then, since kind of like Witcher 3 had those two that everybody holds up with pretty high esteem. This is another one that's like, it's a very good expansion. You know, it just goes into a game that has had its troubles and issues, and it still does. Like,
yeah,
they have improved it a lot, but there's still just weird things that are just baked into that game. Like, whenever you call your vehicle, I don't know if it's something specific to the motorcycles, because that's all I drive in this game, but like, I assume that some of the cars do it too, where you call it and it appears on the map and it's supposed to drive to you wherever you're at, but it oftentimes will, like, sometimes it'll just appear on the edge of your minimap and not come to you. Sometimes it'll drive part way, but it'll stop like 50 meters down the road and you have to turn around and run to it. Like, what is this?
Sometimes like, it'll just drop out of the sky and
no, it doesn't do that.
But no, that's like, too bad.
Crushes the pedestrian.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, well, like, you obviously have the player location and you have a big wide open street. Just like drive to me and then stop. It shouldn't be difficult, you'd think, but like something in the tangled mess of the code of the game, it's been like this since launch, is like,
yeah,
it won't always drive all the way up to you. I don't know if they just have certain checkpoints in roads that it has to stop at one or whatever, and it's not where the player actually is. I don't know how that works, because a lot of times it just drives right up to where you're at. So
yeah,
just one of those weird things.
Who knows? It's hard to tell. But that's cool. I'm glad to hear it's good. You know, because I mean, everything that I'd heard, you know, it was, yeah, it was good. So,
but even just like all the mission design, like all of the best missions are in Phantom Liberty. Now that I've played through the whole thing, like the best missions in the entire game are Phantom Liberty, just from how well constructed they are.
Yeah,
there's some really cool ones in the main game too, but they're just not quite to the same level as Phantom Liberty, or it's just like with Phantom Liberty, they've had more time to like really like, okay, here's the, yeah, best ones we did in the main game. Let's do it even better than that. They had time to kind of do that amidst fixing the game. So yeah, it turned out very, very well.
Yeah, that's cool. That's good. I'm glad. I don't think I've bought it yet, but you know, I eventually will, of course, cause I have the game. So why not? but yeah, it's,
so my new playthrough plus is like about, I think, 80 something hours again, and that's minus however many times I've reloaded a save, so it's probably a little few more hours more than that. So I've played probably 2/3 of the main missions from the base game, and then all of Phantom Liberty and a bunch of side stuff too, so it's just playing around in the game again. It was fun.
Yeah,
but cool. I think hopefully next show I'll have something different that I've played.
Yeah,
the Cyberpunk train for a little while now.
Yeah, I understand. So, all right, Eric, what have you been playing?
Only Helldivers. That's it. I actually haven't played much the last couple of weeks. And that's the only thing I dabbled in a little bit. I didn't actually play anything this last week, but it was probably like last weekend. We had family in town and stuff, so I've been pretty busy. But
yeah,
yep, still trucking. I think I'm like level 15 or 16, so trying to get to level 20. That's when you unlock the cool mech suit, which, let me tell you, seeing people use that in the game is fun. You get in, run around, shoot the bugs, shoot the robots. It's like, it's pretty invincible. It does die, but it's pretty cool.
Right.
It definitely is handy to have. And yeah, the one guy I played with was pretty nice. He hopped out of it and like called down another one, so then the other people who didn't have it could hop in and take it for a spin. So I walked around a little bit, shot a few.
Yeah, well, that's cool.
But yeah, the co-op stuff's pretty good. Random people are pretty fun to play with. I mean, they seem pretty nice. And even if you join like, and everybody else is like level 30, they still want you to like come along and play and care and contribute. So that's good.
Hmm. Well, yeah, that's good. You don't see.
I might actually, and the season pass is pretty reasonable. So I'm thinking if my other buddy plays a little bit more, I'll probably buy a season pass.
Yeah,
it's not very much.
Well, I mean, if you're playing it, you know, you're playing it a lot, and you have somebody to play with, then you know, it's definitely worth.
Yeah, I also saw, and I haven't bought it yet, but I saw that Baldur's Gate 3, the physical edition, is back in stock.
Like, oh,
I need that. Not the collector's edition, just the regular one.
Right.
Oh, speaking of things, someone at a yard sale just down the road from me last weekend, Elden Ring collector's edition, PS5, sealed. Guess how much, John? Go.
$300.
$10.
More?
$500. Oh, my. And then I looked, and it's actually, that was not awful, because on eBay it was between $400 and $500. I bet.
Wow.
I bought a couple things from him, small things.
Yeah.
So I bet, and him and I talked gaming for a little bit. I bet I could get him down. It looks really cool, but I was like, man, it'll be like The Last of Us 2, where the box sits in the corner of my office, and I go, oh, that's cool. It'll just stay there, because I've seen how big that statue is.
Yeah.
And he also had, he had God of War, which he didn't bring out. He had something else. I don't remember what it was. Another collector's edition where the statue was really big. I'm like, oh, man, I just have no place for that. But I was kind of interested at the price point. I don't even remember
how much it was.
Let's see. The Last of Us collector's edition was $250 when it came out. So I bet Elden Ring was close to that, because it's a big box.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's huge. I also took advantage of Woot's refurbished Xbox Series X's they have. I have a friend that works for Amazon.
Nice.
And he said, those are good to get. He's like, they've been gone over. He's like, you're not going to have a problem. If they pop back in stock, get one. They come in and out all the time. They came in like, I think Wednesday morning. And I was like, all right, I'll buy. So $300. I just got it today. So it's sitting downstairs. So
wow,
I will unpack it. I'll fire it up, slap all my stuff in it, and sell the Series S because there's no reason for me to keep the old digital.
Yeah, and that's probably what I want to do with mine. Because
I can start, because I don't have a way to play 360 things either, and I have a stack of 360 games in the box. I know not everything's backwards compatible,
but right,
I'll be able to play a few things.
Yeah.
Play some of the fun stuff that I don't own.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been thinking about selling my Series S just because now that I don't take, I take the Steam Deck on the road with me, I have absolutely no reason to keep it.
I was gonna offer it to my brother-in-law, but he bought one last year, and then he just sent me a text a few days ago. He's like, "Oh, hey." He's like, "I bought a PS5 for my tax return." I go, man. I was like, "What are you playing with that?" He's like, "Oh, the kids are playing Fortnite on that, the Switch." Had the Series S.
I'm like, oh, jeez.
No. Good use of the consoles.
Man, tax return, that must be nice.
What is that again? Tell me more. No, but I'm glad they all play it. At least they're all playing Fortnite together. So they'll probably try to get me to play it every time I go over there. Let's play.
Yeah.
All right, well, hey, got my friend code and stuff. Add me.
Yeah, Fortnite's fun when you're playing with friends. I mean,
shoot some stuff.
Yeah. Play the one where you don't have to build, just play the...
Yes, that's the one I want.
That's what I play.
Have you tried the Lego one?
They have a build-only one you're still completely...
The Lego one's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
The Lego one's awesome. There's another one, too, right? Game. There's a Lego, and there's a music one, too, right? Or am I
that's Fortnite Festival. Yeah, it's basically because Epic bought Harmonix, so it's literally just Rock Band, but it's in Fortnite. That's it.
We will put out those plastic instruments.
Yeah, which they are doing soon.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
shoot stuff with Fortnite and play music. All right, I'm in. It's a guitar with a controller built in.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. It's I've been playing it a lot, and then now they have the Rocket Racing too, which is just because
I had heard good things about the Lego one, so that was kind of interesting. Like people said,
Lego one's really smaller.
Like, don't like it. But
yeah, it's basically what I wanted. It's what I wanted Lego Worlds to be when Lego Worlds came out.
Yeah.
But they fleshed it out. Yeah, and Lego Worlds was fine, but this is—it's just more robust, probably because they got a lot more money behind it. But
sure.
But it's really solid. Though.
Did you play that Lego racing game, the Lego 2K Drive at all? Did you try that? My nephew really liked that.
No, I haven't tried that yet either.
Smashing into things, and then it's like you hit the water, and then your boat, and then back on land, your car or motorcycle. He seemed to like it. I was like, maybe $20 the other day. Yeah.
Well, I like Lego and I like racing, which is why I've been interested in it. But yeah, I'm in no rush to play it, though. I'm playing too much at the moment anyway.
Yeah.
Backlog
back there is 4 years deep. I need something needs to give my job.
I can quit.
I need to quit working and just play games.
There we go. Perfect.
It was so much easier when I was unemployed. I mean, I had so much free time on my hands to play games.
When I was unemployed back in the day, played me some Saints Row 2, some wild good times.
Gosh, yeah.
I had the time to, I'd be like, 30-hour game? I'll take care of this in a week. Now I'm 30-hour game, 6 months later, and I didn't finish it, and I'm half an hour from the end.
Yeah.
Hey, that prey is sitting behind me looking at me like, come on, dude. You're on the last two missions. Just fire it up. I don't want to, though.
It'll take you 20 minutes to finish. Come on.
No, it'll take me 20 minutes to install, then 20 minutes to finish.
And then update it. And then...
Yeah, I haven't been playing much. I should have some more time in the next couple of weeks. Plus, we have a vacation plan, so I'll either take the Steam Deck or the 3DS to me and get a little bit of mobile gaming in.
Yeah, I bought my $5 coupon was for GameStop was running out. I was like, there's got to be something I could buy. So we were shopping yesterday. So I was looking around the stores like, there's nothing I want to buy. And that
can I use these on these Funkos? No, sir, you can't.
But I found a copy of what was that game called? Land of Illusion or something like that. That Mickey Mouse hand-drawn Metroidvania type.
Was that Castle of Illusion, I think, yeah.
No, it wasn't. It's only on the Switch.
Oh, yeah.
What was it? It's kind of drawn in the 1920s style of Mickey Mouse. What is that thing called? Switch. See, Epic now I got to look it up.
Disney Illusion Island?
Yes, that's it. Illusion Island.
Oh, Illusion Island.
I had to look it up. Yeah,
yeah, I had to look it up too because I couldn't remember what it was. I was like, oh, well, this looked neat. Yeah, it looked kind of cool. And then I realized that I have not had the Steam Deck or the Switch on since I bought that Zelda edition when the new Zelda came out. I was like, oh, I might need to, like, you know, charge my controller and actually play this because the Steam, I don't have the controller, the Joy-Cons connected to it. I just have the thing with the screen and the regular controller. And I went, oh, I need to charge my controller. It's dead. The Switch turned on, but
was it on sale at GameStop?
No, it wasn't on sale. They just actually had a copy of it. I had not seen a physical copy of it in a while.
I had to look it up. I don't think I've heard of this actually.
They showed it on one of the Treehouse or one of the Nintendo Live things a long time ago, and I went, "Oh, that looks really, really cool. I'd like to get that sometime." And then I forgot about it. And it's published by Nintendo, so it's not like it's ever going to be on computer or anything. So it's like on PC.
It kind of reminds me of Rayman almost, looking at like the screenshots and the artwork. That's kind of cool.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, it looks really sweet, so I'm gonna fire it up when we get done here.
I used my $5 coupon on retro games because there's a one GameStop out of the three of us that are in our town.
Yeah,
one of them has regular retro stock. The other two, they have like a little bit of stuff. The one guy opened the drawer and there was like four N64 games. I'm like, whoa! I'm like, I don't have that. I'll buy that. So there's some a bunch of PS3 stuff too. Most of it I already have, but.
Yeah,
check back on the regular basis.
I usually try to go out when I'm, you know, out working and try to stop at a GameStop, you know, somewhere far away that might have something more. Usually I end up buying like a Star Wars action figure or something, but there was literally no Star Wars action figures that they had that I wanted or already had. So it was like, I'll actually buy a game at GameStop. Look at that. Wow. Isn't that a novel idea?
Like, oh, my God.
Yeah, and I cannot remember the last time that I bought a game. Yeah, I can't.
I don't even know the last time I even set foot in a GameStop, let alone when I bought something there.
Yeah,
I love how anti GameStop is that.
Well, it's just like I don't buy physical games anymore. So, yeah, and even if I did, I would probably be getting it at like Target or something in town where it's easier. Yeah. And you're not like breaking it open and doing all the stuff that GameStop does. It's just like, no, I just want a new copy off the shelf.
There and Anna has the shrink wrap with it too.
Yeah,
plus.
Yeah.
Well, and that was surprised. I actually got a shrink wrap copy. I was like, all right, that's what I told Nikki. I was like, all right, let's see what I get when I walk up to the counter. Is it going to be the display version, or is he actually going to have a sealed copy? And I went, ooh, this GameStop had a sealed copy. Look at them.
Oh, wow. That's a gold mine right there.
Yeah, I know. It was like, holy crap. But yeah, that's all right. But yeah, I want to try it out. It like I said, the gameplay looked cool, and the style of it looks really sweet. So, and it'll give me an excuse to fire up that brand new Switch I bought that I never turned on, but maybe for 5 minutes to move everything over to it.
Yeah, I'll have to...
That's how much the Steam Deck has changed the way I play. It's like, oh, this comes out on Nintendo. Oh, let me set this down and go over to the Steam Deck. It's like. It's so insane, but all right, Dennis. So I see you've played some stuff, but it's not a big list like it usually is. So you've been very focused. I'm shocked.
I've been focused. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Cause like, so busy. Yeah. So
well, that could be
a little bit of both. Yeah. Yeah. But I've been trying to stay focused lately. So basically, I got around to playing and then finally beating Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice. I've been getting the itch to sort of go back to it, and that game's not long anyways, you know, so I wanted to revisit it before Hellblade 2 came out, and replayed it, beat it, and, you know, the whole time I'm playing it, and one of the first things that came to mind was, like, you have to remember this game came out in 2017, and I wrote a mini review on this that I want to put up on the site, and we haven't done that yet, but I want to put it up on the site soon. And I wrote a mini review that was like a, you know, 2024 review, Hellblade 7 years later type thing.
Yeah.
And that game holds up so well, not just in terms of its gameplay can be critiqued a lot, but just its art direction is, you don't realize how good an art direction is until you come back to something years later, because, you know, with how technology changes and how we've, you know, come a long way graphically, you know, from last gen and then now to this gen, with the new consoles and with Hellblade 2, you know, around the corner, and you see the very clear difference between Hellblade 2 and Hellblade 1. But Hellblade still looks so incredible, and it makes you appreciate the art direction, because that's a game that at the time aimed for photorealism, you know, and a lot of games that aim for photorealism don't typically age well, because, you know, they might be photorealistic when they came out at the time, you know, utilizing as much tech as possible, but very few games still look good, that good, years later. But Hellblade is one of those games that still looks fantastic in 2024 as it did in 2017. And I think, you know, a big part of that is because not only were they going for photorealism, but they had the flexibility of, you know, the supernatural that they could play with and the Norse, you know, mythology stuff that they had going on.
That's the secret sauce. It's not that they're going for photorealism. It's a still stylized in certain ways. Like, they just hyper detailed where some things, like, okay, if I was here, it would look like this kind of photorealism, but not like super to the point where, like, no, this is real life. They still have, especially in the way that the lighting and all that stuff works in that game, and just all the weird stuff that happens when you're, you know, having the weird mental attacks and stuff that happen in that game. It's very stylized in that way. I think that helps it.
I agree. And you know, and I I was thinking that too, and you know, it's done itself a lot of favors, because playing that game also, there's still a lot of tech and utilization with motion capture and just regular animations in general that I still really haven't seen to this day. I mean, there's some incredible technology that's used in that game that is just, you know, it still just blew me away playing through it. And so by the time I, you know, I finished it, I was like, man, it almost felt like playing it for the first time all over again, you know, because I played it back when it came out forever ago. And then I played it again on Game Pass when Game Pass was introduced. And then, just wanted to revisit it one more time. You know, before Hellblade 2 comes out in May, I think it comes out in May. So,
that's what you're saying.
So I'm super stoked for Hellblade 2 now, because I know they're gonna, just now that they got that Microsoft money.
Actually worried the most about it is part of what makes Senua's Sacrifice, the first one, so good is that they kept the scope in check. Because they're still an independent studio, and they're just like, okay, we want to do kind of like a AA length game, but look, that looks AAA and expensive and awesome. That was kind of like some of the stuff I remember them talking about at the time, maybe not in those specific words, but like they wanted a smaller, shorter game, but that the quality of it was just like graphically, you look at it and it's like, wow, this is amazing kind of package. And so, like, it's a short game. Yeah. And it doesn't have really that many characters in it, and just the scope of like what the game is was controlled enough that they could do it. Whereas with, I'm sure they have bigger teams and they got that Microsoft money, and I'm sure it'll be fine. But just like the charm of the game and just how it is, I wonder how the sequel's gonna feel.
Yeah,
I'm sure it'll probably be even just like a completely different kind of game too. It's one of those things. So I'm hoping they nail it, whatever kind of game it ends up being.
Yeah, I'm hoping so too. And I do honestly hope that it is different, because one thing that I did notice by the time, you know, once I let everything sink in, was that, you know, honestly, the combat wasn't even that great, I didn't think. And then,
I love the combat in that game.
I mean, I didn't think it was bad.
I like it. And it's like, it's one of those games where it's not going to tell you a lot, but once you figure out what the cues are and all that stuff, it's like, oh, okay, now I understand it. And then it flows better. So it's one of those systems you had to kind of learn. I'm sure they could expand upon it too, awesome, if they wanted to. But like,
yeah,
I like the combat in that game, actually. It's something different, and that's what I appreciated about it.
Yeah. And then I just felt like the rune thing got a bit excessive, of just like, look at this, now find the illusion somewhere. You know, it was like one after the other. I'm like, dude, like, it just felt, it ruined, not ruined, but it sort of the pacing wasn't as fluid as it could have been because of that, of me just having to go around. And it's, they weren't hard and they weren't difficult, but it was still just like, ah, here's another shape I gotta go and, you know, manifest somewhere, you know. And then, you know, it was fine when it was one. And they throw two at you, then they throw three at you. And,
whoa,
and
three. Once
that you gotta do. Whoa. So it got, you know, it was just a bit excessive, just one after the other. And I'm like, man, like, just let's get this thing going, please. You're just, it's just an unnecessary way of halting progress. Now, sometimes they did do it in a really clever and good way where they took that time while you were walking around to sort of expound on the narrative a little bit. So there was like story beats happening at the same time. But more often than not, though, it was just a quick little puzzle for you to do before you progressed even further. So, and it just, they just felt not particularly, I don't know, I don't want to say necessary, but it didn't feel super, I guess, important, I guess, to the overall direction.
Got it. So it's like, oh, let's do this, but it's not really tied in, but do it anyway.
Yeah, it's just like these runes that just, it made more sense to find the little, there'd be like these little pillars that also had runes in it, like a little circular rune, and you could zoom in on them, and then they would have, the guy, I forget his name, that was following you, would like tell you a little story really quick. And that was really interesting. That was really cool. Mm-hmm. And then you get a quick, it's an easy achievement too. If you find all those, you get an achievement, because 100% in that game was super easy too, because I played it on Steam. And so I wanted to 100% it really quick. And then I realized when I was going through the achievements, I was like, oh, these are all just story achievements. The only one that is really missable is if you don't get all the little pillar story things. That's it. Otherwise, you're getting 99% of those achievements just by playing it. So, so yeah, getting 100% was really easy. So it's an easy one for achievement hunters if you want to tackle that. But yeah, holds up well, though. Holds up really, really well. Strong performance, as always, with Senua. And I can't wait to see that again with Hellblade 2. I think that's going to be next level. I think she won a couple of awards, didn't she? Her name's like Melina something. I forgot the actress's name.
I think so.
Well, she was like their video editor for the studio before Hellblade.
Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah. Which
even while they were making Hellblade, I think she was still also making some of their like behind the scenes videos at the same time, going back and forth. And now for the new one, she's just the character. From what I understand.
Yeah, she was part of the team, and then I guess they just, I don't know if they couldn't afford anybody. I think they just used her as a quick model, but then they just kept her.
I know there's videos that I've watched about it from how that went down. I don't remember for sure, but I think it was something where, like, you know, kind of like you see an animation and sometimes where you put in like a scratch voice that's meant to be replaced later, and then they're like, oh, wait, no, we like that. We're going to keep it. Like, oh, hey, this is working really well. Do you want to do the whole game?
Sure. What? Yeah. Since I'm here.
I'm here already, so I might as well just go.
I'm here already. So.
We're only going to use you once, but it was good. So,
yeah, that game nails just like atmosphere and tension so well throughout the whole thing. Yes. And there's like a part later in the game that I still vaguely remember, but it's one of the like scariest things I've played, mostly just from like the tension of you're in the dark, and unlike other games, it is actually dark. And if I remember, you have to navigate by some sound or something. I don't know, it's been so long since I played, I have to remember, but I just remember playing at the time and just being so on edge, and then when you finally get out of that, you're like, oh, you just feel the relief of it more than some other straight up horror games even can do sometimes.
Yeah, no, that was a really good moment in the game. And I mean, and even it's even dark for her. That's the thing, because she's walking around trying to, you know, feel everything. So yeah, no, that was an awesome part. It reminded me, honestly, a lot of that game Perception, where you literally play as a blind person. You have to hit the cane down to create like a little sonic, like a sonar wave, basically. Mm-hmm. And then the environment sort of comes to light briefly. And yeah, that game was really interesting, but that's a story for another time. But yeah, played, beat Hellblade. Now I'm excited for Hellblade 2, more excited than I was before. So if anyone's got the time, I highly recommend going back to it. It's a quick 7-hour game. I don't think it was much more than that for me.
Yep, it's been on my list. Never played it. Own it three different ways.
It's worth jumping in.
I think I got it on a Hummel.
I know.
Not a Hummel.
You guys, my other friends are like, play it. What are you doing? Stop what you're doing, play it. Like, I'll get to it.
Yeah.
It
It is Series X enhanced too. Series X and S enhanced. So yeah. Might be worth playing.
All right, Series S, it's the last time for you to do something good. Besides deleting all the content of my other external drive.
Oh. But yeah, and in addition to Hellblade, I've also been playing an older game, but once again to prepare for its sequel because it just came out on PC. Been playing Horizon Zero Dawn, going through that, and I never really gave it the time of day back when it came out because it came out all of a week before Breath of the Wild, and Breath of the Wild just, I mean, now I see they're sort of two very different games, but I think because of my huge hundreds and hundreds of hours of investment into Breath of the Wild, when I tried jumping back into Horizon afterwards, I was so fatigued with massive open world that I was just, I couldn't do it. I
was the same way with it. That's why I didn't pick it up for...
See, I did it the right way.
A while.
I played most of Horizon Zero Dawn before I even started, Zelda, and then Zelda is unique enough that I wasn't burnt out enough, and I played through that, but I still never finished that
game. I think that probably, that would have been the better way, I think, for sure.
It would have.
But yeah, I've been going through Horizon Zero Dawn, and now that I'm playing it again and really giving it the time it deserves, it's a fantastic game, and I knew it was good from the beginning. The problem is I just could never really, the time wasn't right, and I just never could really give it the proper focus that I could because of all these other games coming out. But now that, you know, there's a sort of a, I don't want to say a drought, but you know, I've been trying to be more focused with like the next big game that I'm excited for, you know, so I'm just taking the time to like really sit down and play Horizon, probably before, I'm trying to think of the next big one. I know Shin Megami Tensei 5 gets ported to PC in June, and then I got Persona 3 Reload downloaded because it's on Game Pass, but I don't know what's coming out between now. I mean, Tsushima's being ported. Like, what's new that's coming out?
I don't know. That's a good question.
The next big thing is Elden Ring expansion.
Oh yeah,
but, you know, that's just
that's
just the Elden. I mean, so I won a contest, a free game of my choice, right? And I went to look what was coming out in the next month or so, or what's come out. I'm like, there. I don't own my choices. Pretty much what I would get are either Last of Us Part Two, Spider-Man, or maybe I'll get Cyberpunk. Actually, the new edition. But like, there's nothing that's come out recently where I'm like, it has to be a physical release too. I'm like, there's nothing that like screams buy me. I don't know. Yeah, it seems like there wasn't anything that just...
I guess,
if you're big Final Fantasy fans, of course, we got that stuff. But there's other stuff.
I was going to say,
Pacific Drive looks kind of cool, but I need to kind of maybe watch the gameplay of that. That's kind of...
I'm just looking through the list here. I'm just big games. Mario, Paper Mario, A Thousand Year Door comes out in May.
Princess Peach game is supposed to be... Princess Peach is supposed to be fun, but probably going to wait on that.
The demo was awesome. If you haven't played the demo, play a demo.
Bad things about Alone in the Dark. I read a review, and then I have a friend in another Discord group, a big fan of Alone in the Dark. He's like, yeah. He's like, I should have waited. I was like, ooh, that's not good.
Effort makes things, though.
I mean, I'll probably get Alone in the Dark, you know, maybe price drop or something, maybe a couple months. Like, I like Alone in the Dark.
Free. What?
When it's free? Game Pass?
No, if you get it for free, it's your free game.
But if I'm going to get a free game, I mean, I want to be able to something I'm going to enjoy. I wonder with Alone in the Dark, is it more, does anyone know, is it more like what the last one was like action heavy? Or is it taking it back to like the roots?
Like the one on 360? That's the last one I played.
Yeah.
The only thing I know of is David Harbour's in it. That's it.
It kind of looks like it's sort of survival horror actiony, maybe a little bit, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking down
Hey, that South Park game came out. Yeah, I'm good. I'll pass.
Yeah, I'm just looking down the list. I mean, I don't see a lot of big stuff. You know, April, May, June. There's a Shin Megami. There's Elden Ring, and then like. There's a bunch of stuff that doesn't have release dates yet.
I mean, I'm excited for the Tales of Kinsera game in another few weeks. and maybe Stellar Blade if it's as good as the people say. I'm excited for Stellar
Blade, actually.
I've got my fingers crossed.
There's another Destiny 2 release coming out. The Final Shape. What's that?
Yeah, it's another another expansion, yearly expansion.
Right. Yeah, Stellar Blade looks awesome. Is that PlayStation only, or is that also on PC?
I think the listing I've got is PlayStation only.
I don't think it's on anything but PlayStation at launch, at least.
Well, PlayStation it is, then, I guess. Yeah, I would have preferred
Stalker, it on PC. Stalker 2 this fall. Yeah, that could be kind of interesting. But I never played the first one. Whoop. I seem to like it.
I played the original one years and years and years ago. I had fun with it. What was the other one that you said that you were looking forward to, Nathaniel?
Visions of Mana. Oh, Nathaniel.
The Tales of Kinsera Zao game.
Oh, okay. Tales of Kinsera. I was trying to look it up here because I don't remember.
The Metroidvania whatever game that they showed. I guess it was the Game Awards was the first time we saw that game, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I remember that now.
And it had the developer guy come up on stage.
Oh, Stalker 2. We're not going to have to buy it. It'll be on Game Pass.
Nice. Yeah, that one does look cool. Yeah. That comes out in April too, doesn't it?
There's this game coming out called Realm of Ink. Have you guys seen that one? It looks like Hades, but like very stylized and like Japanese. It looks awesome.
Realm of Ink.
It looks like Hades, but it's like made with like has like a Sumi Ink art style. It's gorgeous.
That sounds awesome. But I have not seen it. I'll have to look that up.
No, I haven't either. That's what I'm looking up right now.
Like that one's been sort of on my radar.
Yeah, look at that. Yeah, that is kind of cool.
There's a game coming out in early access. Some
I have played the demo of this. It reminded me of Curse of the Dead Gods more than Hades.
Oh, okay.
But also fun. I enjoyed it. It was pretty challenging. If I remember the demo, it was tough. But I think I played it on the demo either on it was on PC. Maybe it was
on it's on Steam. Demo's on Steam.
It's cool. There's different abilities and stuff. It's fun. You guys probably like it. You guys like the old challenge. Art style is cool, too.
Add it to my list.
Another game I'm looking forward to is coming out in early access soon is the No Rest for the Wicked game from the Ori and the Blind Forest studio.
Oh.
But I will probably wait till it comes full release for that one, but that one's coming out on early access soon. It still looks just as gorgeous as those, just a little bit darker. And it looks like they're kind of doing the bit of Souls-like combat in a top-down isometric kind of game is what it sort of looks like. I don't know if that's an accurate impression or not, but that's what I got from like the one trailer I've seen. But like anything that studio was going to do, I was going to be interested in after both of the Ori games.
Yeah. Yeah, that looks really sweet, too.
Now we're going down to what's coming out.
Supposedly Gestalt is coming out this year, which is kind of like a Metroidvania steampunk game, kind of like Castlevania, sort of like only with steampunk. I played that at PAX several years ago. They kept saying it's coming out, and I just saw it on Steam. It's supposed to be out this year. We'll see, though. Things always get pushed back.
Yeah, if we're going to it's supposed to come out at some point this year list, and that one's much bigger, but...
Yeah, there's a list where it's like, hey, this is coming, and I'm like, what is this?
Yeah, there's a whole list here. I'm looking at GameSpot. There's the list of what doesn't have release dates is bigger than the list of what's actually
coming out. I mean, it always is, and a lot of those end up slipping to other years anyway.
There's nothing this fall. I mean,
there will be, just like last fall, we didn't know release dates for a lot of the big stuff that came out until the summer.
Hades.
Yeah, I mean, they'll load it up.
When's that Indiana Jones game coming out? I'm definitely interested.
Sometime this year.
For sure.
I'll definitely be watching that one. I'm probably going to get it. Can't be any worse than the last two. I mean,
you're right.
It could be. Was the last one Emperor's Tomb on Xbox? No.
I don't know.
The one on the Wii that was terrible. And the only reason to get it was because you could unlock the Fate of Atlantis on it.
What was that one? Staff of Kings.
Oh, it was bad. It was real bad.
I mean, it seems like to be right in the wheelhouse of the studio making it. They like that era, and they you know, the gameplay is very similar to the Wolfenstein ones. It's just, can they do it a game that's not as over the top as those Wolfenstein games?
Yeah.
Because that was part of the appeal, just how nuts they went.
That's what I was thinking.
But what if? What if Indiana Jones is suddenly like a cyborg? Oh, no.
Oh, no.
It'd be very terrible and stupid, but it might be enjoyable.
Yeah, it may be. I don't know. I'm not one to judge. I mean, you know.
Indiana Jones is RoboCop? What?
What? He was the Terminator all along? It wasn't Arnold? What?
That's right. Actually...
Man, someone's going to try and make that stuff. You know what?
Oh, absolutely.
Push all the franchises together. Who cares?
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll come out this year, but The Wolf Among Us 2 would be great to have this year.
That would be. I don't know if it's coming out this year.
I would highly doubt it.
But at least I would too. But I would like to see it. Yeah.
Promise.
Is that all you got to say about Horizon Zero Dawn, Dennis? Or was it?
Oh, no.
We were talking about 3 hours ago.
I just wanted to make sure. We kind of got sidetracked there. I couldn't remember if you actually said all you wanted to say about it, or if it was.
No. But yeah, I mean, it's you know, I've been playing through it again, and it's awesome, and I really appreciate the intuitiveness of that game. You know, it doesn't overwhelm you with much. It gives you a lot, but nothing ever really feels overwhelming in terms of just like, you know, because there's so much you can do. You can overdrive the machines, and then you can, you know, sort of, I don't know, it's the terrible term for it, but adopt them, you know, for you know, you do that, and you go through you know, this awesome story with a world that once again doesn't feel overwhelming. There's a lot to do, but it rewards you in the things that you find, you know, in these little, their version of tombs that remind me of Tomb Raider, that I forget what they call them though, starts with a C, but those little catacombs or whatever that they've got that are filled with like machines and whatnot. But that was very Tomb Raider-esque, and I really liked those. And just the random rewards that they have, these visions that you can see of like what a place used to look like, you know, when, you know, science and tech was like at its peak before everything's just sort of collapsed and, you know, became, you know, sort of primal again. And then, I appreciate how it's big, but it's focused, you know, it's not, nothing ever feels overwhelming. Even when I'm doing like side quests and stuff, they feel doable. It doesn't feel like I'll keep stacking and stacking them, you know, and I have like 80 of them in my, you know, quest log. Like, no, they feel doable and they're quick, and you can do them in the area. They don't have to go too far. Like, it's, you can still focus on the main story while doing those too. So it's a nice little complimentary task to what you're already doing. Yeah. And it's really, really well designed. Really well designed.
That's,
I appreciate that a lot.
The nail on the head of why I think Zero Dawn is a better game than Forbidden West, because they nailed the like open world balance of all these things kind of feed into the same ecosystem and like the main story. So like all those like little things where you look at the Overlook and see what the world used to be, or you know, some of the other like little ruins and tombs you can go to, all feed into kind of like the mystery of like what happened to this world, and it slowly kind of reveals that as you go through the game, and the mystery is really good. And then you know, any sequel is not going to be able to have that, because you're like, you know what it is now, so now you're playing the sequel. But also they undoubtedly improved a lot of things for Forbidden West, like all the animation, like the facial animations especially, and the conversations with people are so much better, because it's not just like the like Fallout face cam or whatever. It's not quite that bad in Zero Dawn, but just like talking to NPCs is so much improved in Forbidden West, because a lot of people talked about it in the first game. So you could tell the point that they're like, hey, we want to improve on this. And just some of the like movement and just all the crazy animations that look really good for like when you're running and jumping and, you know, gliding around the world. Great. But the thing that I think Forbidden West didn't nail quite as well is just the overall just story of it. And also the balance between all the different parts. You could feel overwhelmed in that game a lot more than you did in Zero Dawn, just because they added so much stuff and it felt was like almost too big. Sometimes I was like, there's too much stuff a lot when I was playing that game. It's still a great game.
Yeah.
I prefer the first one just a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, that's not, most people, it's like movies. It's like a lot of people like the original, you know, the first one way better than they like the sequels. Sometimes, you know, I mean,
it just depends on what it is, right? Sometimes you get a, especially with games, the sequel's going to be better because they have time to be like, oh, hey,
right.
Here's what we did on this first one. Here's all the stuff we did right. Let's keep that. Here's all the stuff we could improve on. Let's do that. Boom, sequel. And, you know, they did right. that with Forbidden West, and it's just kind of,
yeah.
a lot of people like it better. It's not, you know, like it's completely like, oh, man, they just, crapped the bed and now it's suddenly worse. No, it's amazing.
Right.
It's just, I just think that the balance was a little bit off for me for just all these different parts that you have to balance for a giant open world game like that just wasn't quite as good for me as Zero Dawn was.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, I will say though,
get more money too, so that always helps.
That's true. Yeah. I will say though, I was looking through the achievements and it hit me how much Guerrilla is they have a lot of masochists at that studio.
they just want to keep submitting you to pain, huh?
Yeah, because I was looking through, okay, most of these are doable, but then I scrolled towards the bottom, you know, the bottom of the Steam achievements, and you know where they said 2.3% of all players have this achievement, and it is defeat or beat new game plus on ultra hard or whatever the hell. And it was like, first of all, I gotta play this game again. Secondly, on super hard, where everything is at your disadvantage on purpose, like I can't. Yeah, no, I'm good. Yeah,
it's kind of like those old ones from Gears of War, where it's like kill 8 bajillion zombies or whatever. That's just gonna be the biggest grind ever. And you're just like, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, no, I'm. Let me tell you what it feels like to be comfortable, because I'm okay.
I'm more than okay. Yeah. Yeah, or my favorite. We talked about this before. My favorite's like, all right, so you beat the game once. Well, now you need to beat it on medium or hard and extra hard. I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I will do one and a half playthroughs. Like Spider-Man. Spider-Man, you can do it in one shot everything is revealed. That's best. Then I'm just like, cool. I can get the platinum. I can get, you know, whatever. You know, just play kind of my casual speed, do my thing. Versus like, hi, you need to play through it a third time. Like, here, let me cut off my foot. I don't know. Well, there's an
achievement for one foot playthrough. What?
I don't know. I think Last of Us 2. You're
gonna see that on AGDQ.
Might be able to get a platinum in one play. It's tough. I think you can in one playthrough, but it's pretty tough. You have to use a guide. There's some stuff that if you're just playing, you're just gonna miss it.
Yeah, no, I'm more than good. I'm great.
Yeah. I had fun. Yeah. I enjoyed it, and you're back. You're like, I don't want to play it again. I'm good.
Yeah. No, the thing is, like, I hate achievements like those because for me, I feel like achievements, trophies, whatever, they should be like an extra layer of gameplay, just something that you can do that's complementary to the game.
Yeah.
When you force any sort of.
It's just not for a type of player that it, like you are, right? There's plenty of like people out there who like the difficulty and challenge of that. And it's also dependent on the studio, because some studios are like, okay, we're going to design these so that like any player can get all of these, you know, if they want to go through and take the time to do it.
I mean,
maybe they have to do a one playthrough. Maybe they have like one new game plus thing attached or whatever. Then there's other studios that are like, we're going to have a few of these in here that we want it to actually feel like an achievement. And we know that only a few players are actually going to bother doing it. And it seems like, you know, that's more or less that kind of thing.
My buddy did platinum Elden Ring. And he's like, look, you only need to play it for like another 20 hours. Maybe. I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I beat it. I did the trick. I saw three endings. I'm good. I don't want to do that last ending. I know what I have to do. And I don't want to. I'm good. I'm done, man.
Yeah,
I'm like, come on, get back in there. You got it. I'm like,
no. We fulfilled the contract. You don't need to.
Exactly. No, bro, I'm good.
I'm good, man. I know what the next part is, and I don't
want to
do it.
There's no need to renew this. Yeah.
Yeah. We're good here. Yeah. I'm out.
But I agree. They should be like a little extra thing, like enjoyable, like not like, all right, collect 1,000 flags and also do this in the same run. I'm like,
No.
I mean, I think for the most part, most games these days are like that. You don't have as many of those as you did way back when achievements and trophies
were. Like PS3, 360 era, where they were like, all right, get this Assassin's Creed Platinum, you need to collect all the flags and do this other thing. I'm like,
all the feathers. The feathers in two. Yeah, like, that's still like, the feathers. I spent three hours finding the last feather. That was all I needed.
Brotherhood was pretty bad, too. Brotherhood was, I think there were two collections. And then
Brotherhood was brutal.
Labeled.
Two broke
like Spider-Man.
Me.
So I'm like, I'm going to have to use a guide. It's like playing GTA 4 and hunting down the pigeons, I think. The pigeons. You have to use a guide. They're not labeled. You have to take a guide.
Well, that was
blah blah blah.
That was like those feathers in two. That was like those feathers in two. It was like, and there was one left I couldn't find, and I was like, I went over the map for 3.5 hours, and it was the last achievement I needed, and finally found it. It was just like
Mickey here screaming, "What's wrong, John?" He's throwing his controller. He's like, "Oh, I've had
enough." Nope. As soon as I got it done, I just turned it off. I deleted the game and I walked away. It was like, and all the rest of them that came out, I went, I'm not getting 100% on any of these. Nope, not going to do it.
You know, that's that was my first ever platinum, was Assassin's Creed 2.
That's some dedication.
I'd have to look again, but I'm pretty sure I have all of the achievements or whatever for Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Oh, wow. Because
I played the crap out of that game.
Yeah.
That
all the DLC that's for that game.
Impressive. Yeah, that's
and that it's still impressive. Shorter amount of time than it would take you to do the same for Valhalla because that game is bloated even more.
Oh my gosh, yes it is.
And they keep adding to it over time. It was nuts.
Yeah. Jeez.
Thanks, Ubisoft. But I think they do it on purpose to like grind out the time that it takes people to play because they can assign a small enough team to keep adding content to it that their other teams have time to put together whatever the next big game is.
Speaking of trophies, the Helldivers, the Helldivers 2 trophies are funny. They're mostly involved like killing a certain amount of bugs or burning them with like a flamethrower. You've toasted 20 bugs. Here's your trophy. See, I was like,
I like those. Those are fun. I like those. Those are the ones I like.
Yeah, those are
fun. Do it randomly and here they come. Yeah.
Yeah. But, all right. Well, we really don't have a lot of news. We just kind of threw some things in there for game announcements that we saw. If you're an Alpha Protocol fan and you missed out on it on PC, it's back on Good Old Games, DMR free.
And it's on sale right now. So I think it's like $17 or $18. So
that's not bad.
Get it. That's a cheap enough price. Everybody can afford it. Good stuff. Weird little action. Yeah. Espionage RPG. There's nothing else like it. I can't even think. The closest thing is that John might remember. There's that weird spy RPG on the Dreamcast. I don't remember what it's called. It didn't sell. It wasn't as good as this, but there's nothing like
Alpha Headhunter. Protocol. Headhunter.
No, it's. Let me look what it is.
Headhunter is the only one I remember. And it didn't come out in the United States. It only came out in Europe, and I had to import it.
Industrial Spy. That's the game I was thinking
about. Oh, I never played that
one. It's kind of a little bit of an espionage hacking sort of game. It's a little bit kind of like Alpha Protocol. But yeah, this is...
Oh, okay.
I mean, Alpha Protocol is definitely unique. It's... It would definitely be good to go back and play it, especially with modern controls and cloud saves. That'd be good.
Yeah, it's definitely a cool Obsidian game. I always liked it. I still have it on Steam before they removed it years ago, but it doesn't work.
Yeah, I have it too, like what John was saying. I don't think getting it to work on a modern PC might be a little bit troublesome.
Yeah. Well, and like you say, cloud saves and stuff like that. There's no cloud saves on that version of it and stuff like that. So hopefully they'll update that version or they'll re-release it on Steam or something. I would like to. Not that GOG's a, but I just like to have it on Steam just because that's where I've got most of my games at. So. But, I'll definitely pick it up at some point. The only other two things we saw were Marvel 1943 Rise of Hydra trailer came out. It pretty much just has a release date of 2025, and that's all I said. The trailer looks pretty. It's Unreal. I think it's Unreal 5, so, I mean, it absolutely looks gorgeous.
Yeah, but it's a cinematic trailer, so who knows what it'll look like by the time we actually get the game. And I want to know what the gameplay is like.
Yeah, I do too.
The premise is cool. You've sold me on that already. And because Amy Hennig is making it, it's like, okay, the story will probably be pretty good. She's got a good track record for previous games. least the ones that came out before she has had bad luck with projects and studios getting canceled. But, man, I really wish we'd get her Star Wars game. I want to go to the alternate timeline where that happened. I want to know, like, what these characters look like to play and stuff, because, like, we know they're cool, but can they pull it off in the gameplay is the question that we don't know yet. So I'll be looking forward to when we get gameplay of it.
Yeah. And the other one that Marvel announced was Marvel Rivals. It's their PvP shooter. I have no idea if it's free to play or
if it's... I think it is. I don't know. I don't know.
NetEase, I checked out it's as soon as I realized game, it's
Overwatch, so. But with Marvel characters. I was like, okay,
pretty much.
Not for me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure it's for somebody, but it's not for me.
See, it'll be for me.
Yeah.
But if it's Overwatch 1, though, not 2. Overwatch 2 is
good. Right, yeah. It's got to be a very specific
Overwatch.
I mean, with
how much Overwatch 2 has gone down and down and down and down in everyone's opinion, maybe this is actually the right time, and it's not, like, way too late for another character shooter like this.
Yeah, could be. And, I mean, it's Marvel. You know, I mean...
Yeah, like, they've got the license behind it, which will help them a lot, versus if it was just some other new IP, right? So that will help it at least get its foot in the door.
Yeah. Other than that, I really hadn't seen anything. I was trying to look for some wrap-ups of PAX East, and all I could find was videos, and I didn't have time to sit and watch videos and take notes. So,
I mean, I didn't put any in here, but there's all, like, a few different things I heard on podcasts about just stuff people were saying out of GDC, just different developers and stuff, but it wasn't anything really to put in the show notes.
Yeah, I couldn't. Again, it was all videos and stuff on GDC too. It was like, I don't have time to sit and listen or watch videos and take notes anymore.
I mean, it's a lot of devs.
Not this week, anyway.
There's a lot of different devs complaining about the current state of the game industry in various different ways.
Oh, well, yeah, and they have every right to complain about that. Right, exactly. There is some trouble. The biggest one
was it Sven, or what's his name? The guy from Larian, when he was accepting one of the awards that they got for Baldur's Gate 3, was going off on, like, how he's dealt with publishers for years, and they keep making the same mistakes over and over and over about, like, they get rid of people, and you get rid of all that institutional knowledge, and then... You've saved a buck, and then it turns around like, oh wait, we don't have anyone to make games, and then you just hire a bunch of people again, and you got to teach them again, and then you fire them again. It's all a constant cycle. It's just like,
yep,
no, it's good for anybody, right?
Rinse, wash, and repeat. Wash, rinse, and repeat. Yep. I mean,
you know, it's capitalism rearing its ugly head.
Yeah,
all the time, everywhere. It's like
it's
gonna happen to all these big companies, and it sort of happens even in medium and smaller companies too, but
yeah,
definitely see it in the big studios and publishers.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
Got to keep investors happy. Who cares whether you make a good game or not?
I do too. I hate that part of it. But that's all I've got for a show. If anybody's got anything else they want to talk about before we go, it's kind of a quick one. We're all focused on certain things. So
can we guess what Robert's been playing?
Something Final Fantasy.
Final
I'm sure
Fantasy it's,
what I was thinking, yeah.
It's either
yes,
that's the only thing I can come up with. Either that or Suicide Squad. I guess he might be playing Suicide Squad.
Robert, don't listen to the show.
Or some weird, like, Fever Dream crossover that's like Suicide Squad, the Final Fantasy. I don't
know. Oh, it could be. Final Fantasy VII, the Suicide Squad.
Featuring Cloud Quinn.
I guess if we throw Kingdom Hearts in there, then all bets are off and anything could be in it, right?
Oh, my God.
Well, yeah, you're right about that. That's true. Yep.
Yeah.
I always forget about Kingdom Hearts.
I don't see that copy. I just looked. I don't see that copy of Suicide Squad locally anymore. $15.
I would have tried it for $15.
I would maybe try it if they paid me $15, maybe.
Oh. Man, I have not looked through the used games at GameStop in a long, long time. I mean,
I looked today and I was like, really I wonder half these games. I don't know.
Well, there's a lot of them I didn't know, but I was like, oh my gosh, Gotham Knights is like $13 used. It's like, gee whiz, you're almost just like giving that game away.
I mean, you can find that new for not much more than that anyway at this point.
Probably not. If it's $13.99 used, it's got to be 20 or less.
Green Man Gaming has that game on sale all of the time. They literally just had it on sale, actually $12 actually for the deluxe edition. Okay, it gives you all the costumes and everything like that. So, yeah.
That game wasn't as bad as everybody gave it.
Oh my god! Like, its problem was it had decent to good-ish gameplay and a boring looking world. Whereas like Suicide Squad is like has kind of just like iffy gameplay, but it looks kind of pretty, right? So like, why can't you guys somehow figure out to make games to have both? Like, you've done them in the past.
Yeah, you did it with Batman. Come on now. You can do it with other things. You can do it. I believe in you. but all right. Well, we're going to call that a show. As always, guys, we appreciate you hanging out and listening to us and all that good stuff. We should be back in 2 weeks. Hopefully, Robert will be back. But, you know, if not, at least we'll be here in some form or shape. All right, guys. Well, again, thanks a lot for hanging out and listening, and we'll catch you all next time.
Take care.
See you later.
Podcast is part of the Gamers Lounge Radio Network. Get more gaming news and shows at www.the-gamers-lounge.com.